We are meeting as Taney County Commission this Thursday, June 2nd, 2011. We have been in executive session with council throughout this morning, and we are now active for the public session part of today's meeting. Commissioner Straffus and Commissioner Hausman present. Commissioner Strahan left at 12:22. We need to make note because he was ill.
I made that note, sir, in those minutes that submitted.
Thank you. First order of business is agenda request review. Nikki?
The Wellness Committee is requesting 15 minutes of your time on the 30th of June, which is a Thursday.
Do you know what they're going to be wanting to talk about?
Basically, I just want to give you an update, have some clarification questions. Question about line item.
On the budget?
Yes.
About a line item?
Well,
that's not something we can't answer?
Last fall, just for understanding, last fall I was requested, and I believe direction was added to create a line item of revenue and expenses for the Wellness Center that we have revenue-wise, so when they do different fundraising events, that money has an avenue to come into the county, and then we know that that money then will be spent on the Wellness Center so that the record-keeping would show that we're not spending taxpayer dollars, but basically fundraising dollars to operate the Wellness Center and the wellness program. Through all the budget time and all the confusion and all that stuff, it didn't happen.
Is it too late for that to happen?
No.
No, I mean, that's a technical question. Can the auditor create that line?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, we could do it through an email and just...
I think that we need to create both the...
Revenue line,
which will show zero because it wasn't budgeted, but that doesn't mean that we can't have additional revenues that are put in, and it will work.
There's money there from last year.
Right. They had some revenue, so they just need to... But it'll still show zero, but we'll be able to track it going forward.
Let me back up. So there was not a line item, or there was a line item in last year's budget. There was not.
There was not.
But there are dollars that have been turned over to General County Revenue that were raised outside. And, of course, we do have a handle on what those dollars are.
Correct.
So even though it'll be zero, those dollars will be in there. We'll have to reflect that. You're right. Okay, I got you.
It's currently in the miscellaneous fund.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Well, it is in the miscellaneous fund.
Yes.
Then we can just break it out and put it in another line and subtract it from that fund potentially. Okay.
So do we need a meeting? Oh, you still want to give us some updates?
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Okay. Great.
The 30th, you said?
The 30th, correct.
Oh, excellent. The day's amazingly empty, so I'm seeing what's... That seems shocking to me. You may have done that on purpose, Nikki, knowing that we had no reason not to meet you.
Back her up to the 27th.
Exactly. I'm sorry. Oh, it is. It's a fine day to have a meeting.
Great. Well, I'm so excited.
I have a question. Well, we're talking about scheduling.
Scheduling, huh?
The reason that we are doing BOE in July is because we didn't have a listing of those who were going to receive increase notices. Did I not just read in the newspaper that X amount of increase notices went out? And if that's the case, could we not schedule sooner?
The books, what we did, that was the reason the books were not going to be closed until that day, because adjustments could be made from the assessor up until that day before the books were turned over. So that's why we didn't schedule it. It wasn't just so that. Yes, I also understand the point of the increased notices were sent out, but...
Well, I guess my point is, if, in fact, we could go ahead and schedule, we could do that a week, that matter of fact, that entire week of last week of June or more, and then if, in fact, the assessor's office makes a change because someone comes in, we'll just... schedule someone else in that position. It would be nice to start earlier is where I'm headed, if that's possible.
Well, I know that our clerk was scheduling based off our last schedule, so we could always add dates forward if you wanted to. If you think there's a benefit, I mean, I think there'd be a benefit. We don't know the pure volume, and unfortunately, the volume always picks up toward the end of the session anyway, and then that's when the late people are going to be late, and adding extra days in the front really is not.
Well, I think in her notice, in order to schedule for BOE, they have a deadline to submit that to the clerk's office. Is that right, Jeff?
I think so. I think it was somewhere on the 13th or something like that.
If you don't mind, I would like to talk with the clerk about that and with the assessor and see if, because we've got plenty of time.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thursday would be wonderful.
Okay.
The 30th. How much time
would
you said?
Well, my point of bringing the other up is if in case we do schedule that, then we won't be taking regular business on that day. But let's go ahead and put that down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Randy Hayes has tentatively requested an executive.
Who?
Randy Hayes.
Randy.
Personnel issue. He's hoping that it will resolve itself. If it does not, he will need to come before you and talk to you.
When?
Not next week, the week after. But I will know at the beginning of the following week.
You're talking about the 13th?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to tentatively schedule it then?
Please.
Let's do it.
Eddie Wolf contacted our office earlier in the week requesting to talk about a vacation of roads discussion. He's requesting the 9th.
We had Pat Keck talk to him and his attorney,
yeah.
And they have talked, and they're going to be providing information to us before we have a meeting. There's no reason to have a meeting until the vacation day. They can get everything to us individually.
Okay.
So what Pat said is that she is requesting to them again get the information, all the information to each commissioner individually so that we have it. I think it's regarding the vacation road vacate, is that right? So I think they're going to get us the information, and then we'll just go along with our normal vacate day, whatever is that. Was it the first Monday of each quarter session or something like that? Is that right, how it works?
On one of the statutes, you have to have it submitted 30 days prior. And
Posting for each petition.
Okay.
That's not our deal. Our deal is just to make sure we have our hearing once a quarter.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
But they have to do all the petition process.
But they may not be eligible for July. It may
it's possible.
To October.
That's why Pat was involved, to make sure legally it was all taken care of. So.
Okay.
Is this an issue they've been pursuing for a while on this particular?
Well, they've been pursuing it, but they have not done any formal paperwork yet.
I wish that we would follow. Well, but it's the understanding the attorneys are going to talk, correct?
Pat mentioned in our session that they, when she was giving us our update on the other issues, she mentioned that.
And the first Monday in July is the date that we begin BOE, so that would be a conflict, at least.
We just have to have a hearing.
We need to have scheduled that earlier, if that's the case.
Right.
And if they've got 30 days to get information to us, then they've got till like the 6th of June.
Isn't the 5th of July starts at 1?
Correct.
So that we can have our morning
meetings.
Oh,
I'm looking at the wrong. I'm sorry.
I have it for all day, is what I show on my calendar. Maybe.
You're talking about the 4th?
The 4th is Monday, isn't it?
I apologize. I was looking at June.
Oh.
Yes, so the 4th. I had said the 6th. And we started that day and the following Monday, I believe, at 1 o'clock so that we could do regular
right.
business.
Right.
Correct. you asked that I bring back up to you EEZ and OED placement. Mr. Connell had requested to meet with you guys, and then you were out of, he was going to be out of town.
You need to get with, he won't be back until Friday.
Okay.
Then get with Tim and get some dates. We don't even know what dates he wants.
Okay.
So he's been gone for 10 days, so contact Tim when he gets back, get some dates, and then maybe a week from today we'll have his dates.
That's all I have, unless you have some other items that we need to schedule on Monday.
I just filled out a piece of paperwork. Congressman Long wants to come before the commission and just give us an update on Washington Monday.
This coming?
Yes, sir.
Specific time?
9 o'clock.
Are we open at 9 o'clock?
Well, I mean, it could be 9:05.
Yeah, probably 9:05.
He's asked for.
So we will open formally at 9, go through the procedure, and then let the congressman be the first order of business.
That's what he's asked for.
I think that works fine. Of course, we don't know how long he's going to be speaking.
30 minutes max. So 9:30 he needs to be concluded. So it'd be a 25-minute.
He can't introduce himself in 30 minutes.
I know. Call the long number, not the wrong number. I mean, I've got all the cliches, too.
Do we want to make, I hate to make him second. We also want to introduce Frank.
We do, and that would just, we want to just do an introduction of county council. And then we also have...
Well, my question is, what time, if we were going to...
9:30. Put Frank at 9:30.
Okay.
We also have BOE add-ons at 9:30, 9:45, which is a show on the calendar that you've posted.
That will not be...
Not BOE show. Until BOE.
Yeah.
Okay. And BOE instructions and swearing in and confirmation of BOE summer sessions also at Monday at 9:30. So we'll probably need to move that to 9:45 maybe.
Okay.
So you'll change that, I'm sure.
The introduction, is this the 5 minute?
That's a 5 minute. Because he's just going to, 5 minute. Okay. And then we can jump right into the BOE installation of new members and all that. Providing we have them
seated?
Yeah. Chosen, appointed, and all that. Is there something else?
Okay, anything else?
I want to say there was, and why do I say that there was?
I would not mind having a report, and nothing long, but maybe 10 minutes from the road foreman and Randy.
Next week, Randy is on vacation.
Well, the road foreman, the two individuals that have overseen our road crews down in Joplin.
Just Stottle and Horner.
Just on how that concluded. Their thoughts about the service we provided, because unless this commission changes its mind this Saturday, is that right, will be our last.
They already pulled out.
They did?
Remember the conversation we had with the U.S. Corps taking over the debris removal process of this major disaster? I was scheduled to be there on Wednesday, yesterday afternoon, and the Corps gave them notice that they had to wrap it up yesterday. So we shipped back most of our equipment last night, and the rest was being picked up this morning and shipped back until we get further update from the Corps. If you remember that conversation, they didn't know when the Corps was going to go. They thought it was going to be Saturday. They moved it up to Wednesday.
But the Corps is moving based upon what FEMA told them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've been pulled off because the next phase of the debris removal has started in. We'll probably get called back in. We got some emails. We get tons of emails. We got some emails yesterday stating this. So we're waiting for the Corps to request us to go back over there. So it's just a process. Danny mentioned earlier in this week when we were getting the update from Harlan and Randy, they did the same thing with the ice storm cleanup in Springfield. So it's the same process. We came off the job for a couple of days, and then we got requests to go back on the job. And
well, then let's. There might not be any need for this if we're going to go back.
Yeah, let's just. I would say we don't.
I'm sorry, Nick.
No, that's right. We don't probably need that until we hear from the Corps again. And I think what Harlan and David Stottle mentioned to those guys is that we're Taney County's, you know, your neighbor, and we're here to help. And you tell us when and how, and we'll make it happen. So, so anyway, it's just a different phase. And so we are actually bringing equipment back last night and this morning.
There's still something else.
Well, I'm looking through all my other emails. I'm going through everything. I know there's going to be a meeting. I just don't have a date yet. I can tell you what it's going to be on. It's going to be on the buyout program based off of FEMA's information. And Bob Ashley is going to put together, we're going to have it with the city of Branson and the city of Hollister. And basically what we're going to do is just talk through the process of what are the options. When the Joplin tornado disaster was added to our FEMA disaster, it opened up an avenue of a lot more money for the flood victims from a FEMA buyout perspective. And so we're still getting all those details. So it looks like we'll have better information probably at the middle of next week. And so then I've talked to the city of Branson and Hollister, and we all want to sit down and make sure we all understand what the plan will be going forward. The other thing is the county, I guess tomorrow, Bob's going to come to it before us, but the county tomorrow is going to be mailing out our substantial damage letters. Branson's went out, Hollister's went out, so then we'll have an identification. Well, we have identified those buildings by then.
Okay.
So don't have a date, but and I'm not sure where it will be. But
okay.
That's something that will happen hopefully next week.
Okay.
Can you tell me what the date was that we scheduled the next CID hearing?
13th.
On the 13th?
Okay. Yes. Of June.
And I don't see, unfortunately, I know that as soon as you walk upstairs, there are going to be like 5 or 10, 15 things we'll need scheduled at 9:30 on Monday. But right now, I don't have anything other than that. That's all I've got.
Okay.
Could you run this? Mm-hmm. How about walk this original document back to Donna Neely?
Sure.
Thank you.
She asked about that.
Just now? There you go. But I said it was my possession.
Great.
Thank you. It's a pleasure seeing you.
You too.
Yes. Yes.
And I've got the letter.
You do.
I got the letter emailed to me.
Okay.
Nothing else. And we're not doing this. We don't. That was going to be taken off. And I'll send you a note on that.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Yes.
You don't want to put this exact letter on our letterhead.
No, not
she
that letter.
It's a letter of support, correct?
We have that letter, sir.
Okay.
She just emailed that letter over just a few minutes ago.
Well, then we're going to approve doing it. I thought we did that last.
We didn't do the letter
Tuesday.
Of support for the mitigation plan. We did it for something else. But it wasn't that.
Thank you. County board appointments.
For P&Z, I'd like to move that we appoint Rick Treese for the Swan Township for the Plan and Zoning Board. I believe that was one of the names on your list that you had submitted. And Danny, before he left word that he would have voted for Rick if he was here. But so anyway, that's my motion.
I would second that motion. Motion's been made and seconded to appoint Rick Treese to the unexpired term within Swan Township for Planning and Zoning Board. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We can also furnish to Bob information about Rick and where Rick lives, et cetera, which I'll be delighted to do.
I'd like to
Rick's a local builder.
I'd like to jump into the library board, or this one's done. We can do that one.
Well, we have a recommendation. I have a number. I don't have a number of things for that particular position, but I do have that one. Do you want to move forward, or do you want to wait till Commissioner Strahan comes back?
I'd like to wait
till
Commissioner Strahan.
Let's do.
For the BOE. I believe one thing I just remember, we probably need to make sure it wouldn't be bad for us to go ahead and have that on Monday's agenda, so that if we appoint somebody.
It's a shame that Nikki wasn't here to tell that.
Did I not tell her that we were going to do this? That we have those people appointed on Monday, since they're going to be sworn in?
I think you should inform her of that, yes.
Okay.
So, and if we could work that in earlier, before the swearing in, that probably would
be
just
better.
Suit
maybe 8:30 or something. Or yeah. What do you think?
9 o'clock. Before the congressman.
8:45? We only have 5 minutes in there.
Well, we need to do it during the formal session once we've already opened, so I think it should be after 9.
After the congressman, then. Okay. I'll send a note to add that to the agenda. Yes, sir.
Well, actually, the swearing-in time is discretionary.
Sure,
I think,
we could push that
clerk,
back a
little bit. So we can do it following the introduction of counsel.
Sure.
Let's do that. Library.
Let me look at this real fast, sir, if I may, because of the
Commissioner Strahan also said he had 2 or 3 additional names have been turned in, but he did not give those to me before he left today. Did he give them to you?
He had talked to those individuals and naturally assumed that they had gone through the process to submit their names, and my assumption is they didn't do that.
I didn't know there was a process.
Well, just to contact the administrative assistants upstairs and submit their name and a phone number, if nothing else. They have documents up there to fill out anybody who requests. So.
Down.
This one? Mm-hmm. We're looking at a list of names here for the library board here.
I feel that's a great qualification, being a retired librarian.
I think you need to consider that.
If you're looking at me for an objection, I don't have one. You talk to that person?
Which one? A little bit.
And
there's so many great people to choose from. That's my. I was
hoping
to have a
every time there's a the SB 40 was rough 2 years ago too because everyone was qualified. Let's do this here. Let me look at something here.
Is it a five-person board or
the
something?
The five-person board, the other thing is on the other part is there's different stages of terms because we're staggering to the initial setup. What I'd like to do is we're going to have to randomly just choose people to what one-year term and two-year terms and all that. So where's the paperwork? What are the... I've got them right here.
What are the lengthy terms?
There are four-year terms, but they're staggered the initial setup so that they don't expire at the same time. Do you have that packet of information? Did I leave it upstairs, sir?
I don't have your packet, and mine is upstairs.
Do you have your packet of the terms?
It's 1 1-year, 1 2-year.
Two-year. Isn't it 1 1-year, 2 2-years, and 2 4-years? That's what it is. Let me write that down. So
say that again.
So there's 1 1-year.
Right.
There's 2 2-year.
Okay.
And there's 2 4-year.
And so at the end of the 1 year term for the one, they would be up for a 4 year appointment.
Correct.
And then at the end of the two, then they would be up for four, so they're somewhat staggered.
Okay. Right. That's how it's statutorily. I'm going to move that we appoint Harry Styron to a 1 year term for the library board. I'm going to move that we appoint James Babcock to a 2 year term. And I'm going to move that we appoint Roxanne Young to a 2 year term. And I'm going to stop there until Mr. Strahan gets back. And that would get three of the five. And then we'll probably, may request that we post, how about Monday afternoon, the remaining of these. I didn't take in consideration the county board appointments when Danny went homesick. So anyway, that's my motion for the first three there.
I would second that motion. Motion has been made and seconded to make the following appointments to the New Taney County Library District Board: Harry Styron for a 1 year term, James Babcock to a 2 year term, and Roxanne Young to a 2 year term. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries. We will name the 2 4-year terms then when Commissioner Strahan returns on Monday, and we'll schedule that for sometime Monday afternoon.
The end of the time here. So
okay.
Moving on to the next item of business, sir, is...
Before you jump to the next item of business, are you wanting to hold the other appointments that we have?
Well, I was going to talk about the airport board real briefly here.
Okay.
If I may. I'm trying to keep my paperwork separate here as best I can. On the airport board, there's a little bit of... they're all 4 year terms. However... It's going to be an administrative issue of when the terms expire, because some didn't get reappointed when they were supposed to, so they're assumed into the next term until they're replaced or renewed. So
when we appoint them, they will have assumed that beginning time.
Correct.
So it might have been some months ago or a year ago
or so.
I see.
So what I'm going to do is move that we reappoint
With just the two of us sitting here, do you think we could start a sports talk show? Or
we could. I feel like we could here. The way we're sitting at the benches up here.
This is different sitting up front here. Mike and Mike, here we go.
Exactly. We can put a bobblehead out in front here. This is where the... let's just do it this way. I'm going to move that we reappoint Mark Trimble, Dave Woolery, Phil Lloyd, Jim Youngblood, and Joe Hall for their reappoint them to the airport board.
Could you list those names again, please?
Yes, sir. Mark Trimble, Dave Woolery, Phil Lloyd, Jim Youngblood, Joe Hall. I'm going to separate because I got to ask a question here in the next one, but those for sure, because it appears, and this is what we're working on the documentation, but we feel like we've got enough information that they may have been reappointed in 08 and in 07, but we're having some documentation issues, so we're going to just reappoint them for the unexpired term.
What are the length of terms for those?
They're all 4-year terms. They were staggered also. This is a seven member board. They were staggered initially when they were formed, and then everything else is a 4-year term.
I will second the motion. The motion has been made to reappoint the following individuals to the County Airport Board to the appropriate terms once calculated. Mark Trimble, Dave Woolery, Phil Lloyd, Jim Youngblood, and Joe Hall. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries.
And I forgot a name on there anyway, so I'll have to... The next, we have two more positions that we believe expired in 09. And looking to reappoint one of them, and then there's a bylaw question of the qualifications. And I don't know if I've had shown you that, Ron, real fast here. Where is that email? Remember that?
You did.
Okay. So how do we handle the bylaw question?
I think it's something we need to have counsel involved in.
Okay.
And chat with. However, did you have another?
Well, I forgot to appoint one person real fast. I'll move that we appoint Glenn Cameron to his unexpired term to the airport board.
Motion has been made to reappoint Glenn Cameron to the County Airport Board. I second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries.
So we're going to hold off on that one appointment until we get legal counsel's opinion on that.
I'm still counting. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 6. Okay.
Yep. So. I think that's all we had posted this morning or this afternoon for specific boards. And yes, that's all I have for that. I have this next for you, sir. You have the worksheet on that?
What I would like you to do, if you will, while we're still talking about board appointments, is from this list, you might see, some, we're also looking for a fit for the IDA board.
Correct. Oh, good. So you look at that list, too.
I'm just wondering about that. What a great opportunity to have.
Well, I'm wondering the same thing here. She's not on that board right now, is she?
Oh, no.
Well, let's...
Well, I'd like to chat with someone before... Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just surprise them.
No.
They signed their name up. They can... I'm joking. You're right. We need to talk to her first.
He's appointing you, Jan.
I was going to put you on a board. All right. Then that's fine. I see what you're saying, and I'll talk to her, too.
Well, there's two or three, I mean, that would be outstanding.
Oh, sure,
people
absolutely. But some already, this one's already serving on that same board there, so. Oh, I circled the wrong names here.
DOE.
Hmm. Okay.
So we're finished with discussions about boards?
That is correct, sir. Here is the next thing at 1:45, which we're 6 minutes behind schedule, right here.
We'll move to a substantial damage update and letters. Mr. Atchley.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
This is Mike. I'm Mike. We're talking sports today.
So who do you think is going to win the game tonight? The NBA Finals is on. You know, this is game two.
Cardinals.
The seven-game series. It's at Miami Heat. They won by eight the first time. So.
Well, I put together just a brief little packet here.
Thank you, Roxanne.
We've completed 28 damage assessments so far, and of the 28...
Would you preface that for those that are listening that don't know what we're talking about, exactly what we are? Thank you.
After these recent two flooding events, as a floodplain manager... we've had to go out and assess each property that was damaged during the flooding. We have to make an assessment of each property in order to determine if it's been substantially damaged. And FEMA looks at substantial damage as basically damages that are more than 50% of the value of the structure, of the market value of the structure. At this point, and of course, we've just made a preliminary assessment. What our plan is to basically we've put together two letters. We've put together a letter that indicates that they may have been substantially damaged. We've put together a second letter showing that our initial assessments indicate that the structure has not sustained substantial damage. And let me kind of explain what that means to folks. If they're not substantially damaged, whether they're in the floodplain or floodway, they can just rebuild.
Within the county.
Within the county. Well, yeah,
not
within,
city.
Within the unincorporated county.
Yeah.
So then that's both, floodway or floodplain.
Yes.
If they were not substantially
damaged. So long as they're just rebuilding, that they're not, you know, of course, adding on or anything like that.
In the floodplain, floodway, the footprint cannot change.
Exactly. So they've got to stay within that same footprint. If they're just making repairs, essentially, then it doesn't require a permit of any type. If they have been found, well, let me back up just a little bit. In either case, we wanted to give the property owners the ability to basically give us more detailed information. If they disagree with our assessment, they'll have the ability to provide a current appraisal and also provide a repair estimate from a contractor because we want to give them the ability, if they feel like we've erred either direction, you know, whether we found something substantially damaged or whether we initially indicate that something's not substantially damaged, we wanted to give each of those property owners the ability to provide us with better documentation, more accurate figures. What we planned to do was to give them basically a time frame to respond back to us. We were thinking about a month or so. That
30 days, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would give these property owners a 30-day window to basically provide us with more information or to say, well, we're in agreement. We agree that the property is substantially damaged, or we agree that it's not substantially damaged.
And if you disagree, then that would be your findings, right?
Exactly, exactly. Now, here's where if a property is found to be substantially damaged, it's actually supposed to come into a compliance with the floodplain ordinance. And basically what that boils down to is they're supposed to elevate the structure. They would have to elevate the structure 1 foot above the base flood elevation.
So these are residents that have experienced substantial damage.
Yes.
In the floodway. In the floodway.
Well, it's either
both.
Or.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what we've found up to this point. We've done 28 assessments, and of the 28, we've had 7 that have shown being substantially damaged. I believe of the 7, all 7 are in the floodway. All of those are right on the lakeside and are very close to the lake.
Depending on where they built, I would assume that the amount that they would have to raise, it's going to be different.
Oh, exactly.
It's all based off GPS coordinates of the base flood elevation, BFE. So
yes.
Their base level has to be 1 foot above that BFE.
Exactly. So in some cases, it might not be that substantial. In
some
other
cases, it could be 15 feet.
It may be very substantial.
I know one house had 14 feet of water, so, I mean, assumptions would be 15 feet. So,
One of the things we've had some preliminary discussions, and one thing I kind of wanted to recommend that we look at an additional meeting to just discuss discuss the buyout program through FEMA and what that entails, what the possibilities are there.
I just mentioned it to Ron just a few minutes ago that we probably need to get all the entities together, because we're still gathering information based off the tornado damage, and since we've got lumped with that flood and the tornado have been lumped together with one FEMA declaration to see what our options are, because the buyout program, we got to first, like we did in the town hall meeting, we have to identify the substantial damage properties, then at that point start looking at the buyout program and is it a viable option for Caney County or the City of Branson or the City of Hollister. So I think what I mentioned was we're going to need to get all of this together once we think we've got all the information to have that meeting. So
I kind of
briefed Ron a little bit on that.
Can you give me what the substantial points are and the difference of being lumped together with the tornado as opposed to being separated out from?
Well, what was indicated to me, and this was something I didn't realize, is you're exactly right. My understanding is that they put this tornado, basically FEMA assigns a number to each disaster, a telephone number. So when people are calling this 800 number, it was associated to the state of Missouri for this flooding event. And whenever this event occurred in Joplin, it was my understanding that they just added that to this already existing disaster declaration. What that does is what the representatives from SEMA have indicated is that probably August or September, I know it's a little ways out, but they said realistically in August or September at some point they'll get an estimate of the total damages from the flooding events along the Mississippi, the flooding events here on the lakes, and then also the tornado. And that'll be one lump sum of money. From that, they had kind of indicated, I believe, from memory, the number's 25%. 25% of that total dollar figure is then available for this, for these grant funds for buyouts. And so,
explain that to me.
So basically, if there was, And I don't have any idea what this total figure is going to be.
But to
keep the math simple, if it was a $1 billion disaster total, it'll be 25% of $1 billion that will be available for this hazard mitigation grant program.
Hazard mitigation is the division of FEMA that looks at how to mitigate future flood events. And within that mitigation group is the FEMA buyout program. And so that buyout program is what we're going after, and it has to fall within the hazard mitigation, which is...
Help me understand. Is that where the funds come from for the 75% funding, or are you telling me that that may include the additional 25%?
Now, what they've indicated there at this point is that would be the funding for the 75%. What they've preliminarily, what they've indicated at this point is that the 25%, there may be a possibility that we can apply for community development block grant funds through the Department of Economic Development. Now, in 2008, they said during the flooding event at that time that they did make those funds available for the match, that there was a separate application for the CDBG grant funds for the 25%. I've contacted the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments, and at this point, they have not yet made that decision. It's likely that they will, but basically my understanding is there would be essentially the county would have to apply on behalf, if the county chose to, if the county commission chooses to, the county would have to apply on behalf of each of these property owners for the 75% through this hazard mitigation grant program. And I've put together in the packet just a brief frequently asked questions about this buyout program.
Who would the county also have to be the entity that they go through for the CDBG?
Yeah.
So the CDBG is the 25% part of it, and the CDBG
potentially.
And the CDBG has to be funded before we can actually apply to it. Right now, that there is no funds in the CDBG for the FEMA buyout for our disaster. This September-October date that he's talking about, that billion-dollar example, some of that money will be put into CDBG for the buyout from the mitigation division. So that's where we're talking about. All the pieces have to come together before we can even apply through our 25% match. The FEMA natural disaster covers the 75%. It's available. And so what we're trying to do is get the 25 through the same FEMA disaster that will fund CDBG for us to apply.
I'm curious if in fact they reach these standards of sustaining the substantial damage, et cetera, and all that criteria. What's the length of time that might a property owner face in going after those dollars?
It was very hard to pin them down.
If before 18 months is nearly impossible. 12 months is the earliest they've seen it. And so the concerns that the natural first concern you've got is you've got a decaying property on a waterfront that could have health concerns that may be sitting vacant while this whole property process takes place. They don't have a good answer. They have some monies available through a different program within the hazard mitigation, but it once again, it's a different, yet another program. But everything I've read, the fastest I've seen anything is 12 months. Reality is it's 18 months.
You know, I'm just wondering, Jim, as a side note, because of the number of counties that are involved, because of the number of states that are involved, and obviously because of the number of people that are affected along these waterways, I wonder if we can't work through NACO to see if this could be at least attempt expediting the process.
Well, the unfortunate part is we can't even apply for the 25% match until there's money into that fund. And so really the clock doesn't start until August or September. That's how I understand. I mean, the problem is the information keeps on coming too. The information keeps on being. So we can't, the clock doesn't even start until then, until we know there's money. Because otherwise, FEMA has money for the 75% right now. I mean, that's a program that sets you know, from a hazard mitigation. If the CDBG money doesn't come available,
I'm not talking about the CDBG. I'm talking about that 75%.
Well, it was my understanding talking to her, talking to this Sheila Huddleston this last time, mm-hmm. that she won't know what this amount is until August or September, because I guess that's when they'll come up with this number,
the grand number that everyone's
for the whole disaster.
Because I have a feeling it's the federal budget, and they got to put something in the budget for it. And the concern is this: we got to make sure that there's grant money available through the CDBG, because otherwise, the county has to say that we're going to pay the 25% from our coffers, which I'm not comfortable saying without some way to.
Would you want to restate that? It doesn't say that the county has to.
There has to be a 25% match.
Right, but it does not have to be funded by the counties or the cities.
But people will need to know that.
Impossible.
But there has to be, I believe it has to be identified. I thought it has to be identified when you do the application where that 25% is coming from.
That was my understanding as well. And it, I mean, in here, it's basically saying that it's got to be a non-federal source. So as long as we can obtain a non...
When the county joined the National Flood Insurance Program, maybe buyout wasn't discussed, but certainly the insurance was discussed, and I never heard of any portion under 100%, but that would be, I guess, for rebuilding?
Well, yeah, and let me kind of explain that, too. In my experience, in Christian County, there was one buyout that we dealt with. It was under a different program, so I don't want to muddy.
About the big restaurant?
Yes, I don't want to muddy the water too much. It was under a program called the Repetitive Loss Grant Program, where there's actually the ability to look at a buyout of a property that's had repetitive losses, and that one's actually 100%. But if you apply this year, the quickest they would look at awarding it from what they indicated would be next year. But that was actually a 100% program, just for an example. But on the insurance side, it's my understanding that they'll pay for the losses. I believe it's up to $250,000, I believe. I don't deal with the insurance side as often.
The flood program was really for the National Flood Insurance Program, not FEMA per se. So, I mean, there's if I'm not mistaken, we're talking about two different structures, two different entities when it comes to this buyout program and all that.
Well, and let me use the case I'm aware of in Christian County and kind of how that worked. In that particular case, that gentleman, that property owner, had received, they had had four or five claims, and so they had claims with FEMA where FEMA, the flood insurance had paid out multiple times, and there was a total dollar figure for the buyout, and that dollar figure included the market value of the property, plus the cost of tearing down the structure, but part of that money had to go back to FEMA, from my understanding, to pay for those past claims that were paid out. To use an example, from my memory, it was close to $1 million initially, but by the time they paid back, you know, the $400,000 or $500,000 in claims, in reality, the property owner was receiving $500,000. And so that's the thing. From my understanding, if we have people this year that have received claims, I think they would receive the difference. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if they've received $250,000, my understanding would be that they would receive the difference, the market value minus that $250,000, basically.
As you can tell, it gets pretty complicated.
It really does.
Our interpretation may be different than Branson and Hollister. So when talking to Bob, it's like, you know, let's all get in the same room, talk through what our interpretation so that we are saying that I don't want to see one individual just because he lives in the city and not in the city be treated differently. So we just got to make sure we have the same understanding interpretation so that it's equal as best we can.
One thing just to throw this out there, we've had a large number of people that are interested in the buyout program. Some of the things I've tried to explain to folks, I mean, I've probably had 30 or more people call me that are interested in a potential buyout, and I've tried to explain some of these things, that it is a program where there is a match required, and that also it's not a quick fix. It's going to be kind of a long-term thing, applying for these grant funds, and my understanding is that this application would go from the county to SEMA, and then from SEMA to FEMA, and kind of back down the ladder that the same way. And it's just a, like Commissioner Straffus had indicated, I don't think it's an extremely quick process, unfortunately.
But you know, that's what I think, and I'm hoping that in the next couple of days, maybe by the middle of next week, we'll get a better refined answers to some of these questions. And then we all sit down. I know I'm talking to both city administrators, one mayor, one administrator, they really would like for us to sit down and just kind of make sure we're all understanding the rules equally. And
yeah.
And we, you know, at that point, we could bring in the FEMA hazard mitigation person that we had in that one meeting who specializes in the buyout program.
Oh, exactly.
And have them present to us, and we can ask specific questions specific to this buyout program, because by then we will have identified the houses, know if there's anybody contesting the valuation assessment. So we then will have a ballpark dollar figure of what we're dealing with.
Exactly.
So we stay kind of on schedule here too. These letters are going to go out.
I plan to start sending these out tomorrow.
Okay. So these are just the basically. For those listening, the question is, valuation has been a big issue. You're using the same formula method, the computer disk program that you got from FEMA from the 08, so we're using that same process.
Yes, and they actually, right or wrong, they actually provided I'm forgetting the terminology, but they provided the base cost per square foot that we're utilizing.
We got to have a starting point, so they can contest it, and there's a process for that.
We're just assigning that figure to both sides of the equation, both to the market value side and also to the damage side as well. We've done a pretty detailed assessment on each of these homes. We've tried to take photos both inside and outside the home. Most of them we got out quickly enough that you could clearly see the water line. You could see debris up to a certain point, and so we've got a pretty good feel for how high the water got. The majority of the homes, what we've seen is they have pretty well gutted most of these homes. They've removed the flooring.
Mm-hmm.
They've removed you've basically just got bare walls. There are one or two that even have some structural damage. Where we're starting to see, some damage to exterior walls and things. So,
let me offer you a hypothetical situation. Somebody has a parcel of property. That parcel of property is worth X amount of dollars. We go through the process of applying for the 75%.
Mm-hmm.
That property owner says, I have the other 25%. Can they get the 75%?
That's my understanding,
and
yes.
And if, in fact, they can they still go through the application process through CDBG to have that reimbursed?
That part I'm not positive of.
That question, I believe, was asked in our sit-down. Because it's a separate application, the answer is yes. On the original application, they're just making sure that money is available that's non-federal money. So we could say we've got cash, but we can go through the CDBG grant and try to get that 25%. And if we get it, then they don't have to put their own cash up. Because that one explanation.
Or if they did, maybe they could get it back.
Right. The explanation was, even one of her examples was, if everyone kept every insurance settlement check they got, FEMA check they got, that a lot of times can make up 15% of the 25. If the county can't. Because they get different checks if they have flood insurance and all that. And we were given a bunch of scenarios, and of course I was taking in all that information. But they can contribute toward that 25% personally, whatever method they want.
And just for an example, exactly what Commissioner Straffus was saying, they call it, they've got so many acronyms that it kind of gets on my nerves sometimes, but they call it Increased Cost of Compliance, or ICC.
Mm-hmm.
And for an example, each house, if they had flood insurance, is eligible for this flood insurance on the house, but they're also eligible for an addition up to $30,000
for ICC,
for mitigation, for raising the house or doing other things. And one example she gave is in some communities, the property owners have actually used that money
toward the 25%.
Toward the 25%.
And to tear down the structure.
Yes, yes.
So they can use that ICC compliance money to help. There's multiple ways to get to the ultimate goal, but there's got to be some very willing property owners, but it's very complex, obviously, and that way I think it'd be great if we could get that same person back.
Oh, Lord, I agree.
What was her name?
I have her Sheila.
Card.
Sheila Huddleston.
Oh, Sheila. So maybe you're right. You have a much better memory than me. It was, she didn't have a car. It was, Sheila was next to me. It was Dale, Sheila, and that lady at the end.
Yeah.
It was the FEMA.
Yeah, she is from FEMA. I don't recall her name. You're probably correct on
that. So, but anyway, I think we get them all together. If we get them all in the same room, I think it'd be good for us to ask those specifics, because we're much closer to reality now than we were when the water was still high and coming out at 68,000.
Exactly. Either way, we're looking down the road,
mm-hmm.
And we have a number of people who don't have homes to move back into.
Exactly.
Which is a frightening and frustrating situation, I'm sure, for a lot of people. And they're having to wait to see if they have the opportunity to be bought out or not be bought out.
Exactly.
Build or not rebuild. But we're talking, and that was my question, is there any way to expedite process? It doesn't sound like it, but
I think we can expedite our side of the process by getting these letters out and making these assessments as quickly as possible, but I don't know how much we can expedite their side of the process.
Well, but I think there's going to be an opportunity to expedite. If we get everything in place, there'll be an opportunity to expedite once the applications are filled out. That's when we'll be able to expedite the process, but we don't know that money, how much monies are available until that August, September, but then once that number is out, we can do the applications, and then we can start trying to expedite through various avenues such as NACO or our congressmen or our senators or something like that.
One thing I should bring up, too, that I think I've neglected to bring up on this is it is a completely voluntary program, and in fact, in my experience in the past, even once this is approved, so it goes through the process, FEMA approves this, the property owner, you've got a property owner that changes their mind, they have the ability to walk away from it. It's a buyout program, but it's a completely voluntary buyout program, because I don't want anybody to get the misconception that
eminent domain or anything like this is
exactly, that this is some kind of forced thing, because it's not.
And I can give you an example. One came up, which was, there's two houses in the county that were built on stilts. They were not flooded. They don't have to sell. Everyone around them could sell, and it could be county-owned park, and they could be right next to a county-owned park if we went through this process and the county owned the property. So it's those scenarios do exist, that it is strictly voluntary.
Let me back you up. How would the county own the property?
And I didn't explain that part either, and I apologize. The way this actually would work, and this is an important part of this, the county's the applicant, the county's applying on behalf of these property owners, and the county, the property owners, it's voluntary, so any party can back away, honestly.
But we are the entity of ownership.
Yes, at the end of the day, the property is actually deeded to the county. There's a deed restriction that's recorded on each deed, which basically wouldn't allow a structure ever to be constructed on any of these lots. I mean, the only thing they could really be utilized for would be park space.
Mm-hmm.
They define a structure as four walls and a roof, so they won't allow any building on it. You could put, you know, like park space, playground equipment, a gazebo, anything that didn't have
gazebo
four walls.
Gazebo and pontoons, something like that.
Or, I mean, basically, yeah. You know, like you said, boat docks. I mean, anything that they didn't consider a structure could be placed on it. But ultimately, that would be another consideration, is it would be property that the county would likely have to maintain as far as mowing. And
yeah, but the county, ultimately, if this process goes through, owns it. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Bull Creek Village had three properties bought out last in the 08 flood, and Bull Creek Village owns those properties. I thought I heard that from the same FEMA people.
I think so. I believe that's right.
But that's who owns those properties, is the village.
Is there a law in place or any regulations that after you've been bought out so many times, or after you've been flooded so many times, and there's been significant checks written?
Not that I'm aware of, but that's really what that substantial or repetitive loss grant program is for those people that have just repeatedly been flooded. That is something else that might be worth investigating, is we may have, I don't know, I mean, it's at least worth looking into. The county could look into the possibility of these two different grant programs.
And there was something in the National Flood Insurance Program that if a property has had so many damages and they didn't do the mitigation part of it, which is either raising the base flood elevation and all that, they may not be qualified anymore for flood insurance, or the premiums would go to a rate that they couldn't afford.
And
there's a bunch of scenarios that I saw through one of the books I've got, which was a whole different animal of, I don't want to be bought out, I'm going to stay here because I've always lived here, and then now what happens? But they've been flooded repeatedly, and there's a lot of factors with that also.
And I'll be honest, out of the folks that I've talked with and that we've done these damage assessments on, the majority have expressed an interest in looking at a buyout. Now, some of these folks have flood insurance, some don't. Through this hazard mitigation grant program, whether they have flood insurance or they don't,
they qualify.
They do qualify. Many of the other programs, the only way they qualify is if they have flood insurance. So it's a lot to think about. I mean, it really is.
So the possibility exists that there are people that have homes there that don't have substantial damage.
Yes.
That what percent we say they may have substantial damage, but they don't meet this criteria.
Yes.
And yet they have no insurance.
Now, they did tell us, it was my understanding, and I don't recall an amount, but I know that they qualify for a certain amount of assistance just because there's been a presidential disaster declaration. But I don't recall what that amount is if they don't have flood insurance. But I do know that they qualify for a certain amount of assistance, but it's likely not going to be close to the value of some of these homes.
There's a lot to digest. Okay, so thanks for the letters. So they're going to go out tomorrow. I think City of Branson has already sent theirs out. I think Hollister is in the process of sending theirs out if they haven't already. So if you want feedback, I think what I'm hearing is give it to you quickly because they're going out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And of course, we want to, the biggest thing is we want to give the property owners the opportunity to say, you know, look, we disagree with that. We want more detailed information. We really would like, you know, to get, you know, I can provide you, I've got, and some of these folks have already told me that they have a fairly current appraisal, and a lot of them are already seeking.
From pre-flood conditions.
Exactly. That they're seeking cost contractors' estimates for repairs and things of that nature. So a lot of these folks already have this information, even.
Bob, I see that there are members of the media here. Would you make yourself available to them if they have questions following this meeting? If they do.
Okay. Yes.
Great.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, how about in about 3 or 4 days we'll get together and see if you think you got enough answers, and we can start trying to schedule a group's meeting then.
Okay, that would be great.
Thank you, Bob.
Do you want me to get with FEMA and SEMA at this point and just see? I don't know how tied up they're going to be. I mean, as far as availability for a possible meeting.
Well, I mean, things are happening pretty fast right now. I would think let's take a quick breath and see what other information comes together.
Okay.
Talk to Jim Lawson. Okay. Talk to Trent over in Hollister.
Okay.
And then let's start at least talk to those guys and see what their thoughts are, and then let's start working on that.
Okay. Well, sounds good.
Thank you very much.
Sir. Thank you.
Next thing on the agenda, sir, is the Taney County Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan letter. And what this is, sir, is I think last Tuesday we found out that the Hollister School Board was omitted out of the Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan, and they voted in their Hollister plan and board meeting to add them to the plan, a request to be added. And what we are going to be doing is voting to write a letter of support that they'd be joined or be added to the hazard mitigation plan.
So we did not do that on Tuesday.
We did not. So
would you so make a motion?
I move that we write a letter of support to the Hollister School District supporting their resolution to be added to the Taney County Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Second, the motion's been made that we draft a letter in support of the Hollister School District's resolution that the school district of Hollister be added to Taney County's Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. I don't see that we have anything else on today's agenda.
Looking one last second, sir.
I'm still looking myself.
Okay, that's done. We're going to write this letter here. That's that. No, sir, I have nothing else further to discuss.
Then I would accept a motion for adjournment.
A motion to adjourn for the day.
Second. Motion has been made to adjourn for the day and seconded. Non-discussable. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. We will stand adjourned until Monday morning at 8:30 for preliminary discussions regarding the day's events.